And you're tuned in to the Jewish Activist Network.
Hello and welcome to the Jewish Activist Network. We broadcast tonight and every Wednesday night, 12 midnight to 1 a.m. and on the web, www.jewishactivistnetwork.com. Today we have a packed show. We have with us Joe Orlo and Rabbi David Idenson, and they are going to have a discussion slash debate about Agudas Israel of America. Now, Aguda, they have a general position not to be interviewed directly. In lieu of that, Joe Orlo has had extensive discussions with Rabbi Avi Shafran and Abba Cohen, and he is also in contact with Chaim David Zwiebel. And Joe is going to give us the position of Aguda as best as he can, and he will speak, and then we're going to have Rabbi Idenson is going to respond. And we think that it'll be a very, very interesting show. We are not going to give our regular phone line right now, just because it's going to be a packed show. We might give it a little bit later on. But we do have a raffle. And you can call into the raffle. And to the raffle, you simply leave your name, your number, and your location. And what we're raffling off is a Haggadah. And depending on where you are, you might even be able to get it before Pesach. I think it's a definite possibility, depending on where you live. Of course, there's always possibilities of overnighting things, and we might not even have to do that. So what we have here is a Haggadah of the Jewish Idea, commentary by Binyamin Zev Kahana. It's a very nice book. It is a hardcover. It's in English, about 239 pages. A very nice volume. So you can call into the raffle line. The raffle is 718-285-9122. That's 718-285-9122. If you are the winner, great. And if anybody is interested in purchasing, you may also leave, just say so, and that you'd like somebody to contact you. On the raffle line, so that if you don't win, you have that opportunity. So once again, 718-285-9122. Just leave all your information. Now, back to our discussion. We are going to have Joe Orlo is going to speak first. He has spoken extensively to Rabbi Avi Shafran. He's the Director of Public Affairs for Agudas Israel of America, and he will present the Agudas position as accurately as he can. And after that, we will have Rabbi Idenson, and we will hopefully get clarity on many of these positions that many of us are unclear about. So, Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I think what we're going to start with is, first let me say it was very gratifying to be able to contact Agudas Yisrael and be in touch with Rabbi Shafran and with Rabbi Cohen directly and speak with them at length about the positions that Agudas Yisrael takes. And we call this the Jewish Activist Network because we want to show that people are being active. And I think that's part of what I did is in contacting them that we went ahead and we were proactive and we were in touch with them. And I want to let our listeners know that these are men that are accessible, that you can pick up a phone and call them. And if you have your own questions and you want to do your own research, I think Agudas Yisrael would be with us to encourage our listeners to also be directly in contact with them. I want to start off by talking first about an issue that is very important to us that many people have brought up, and that has to do with the position of Agudas Yisrael regarding hate crimes legislation. And it's not a simple matter because there's a variety of hate crimes legislation which you can find on the state level, you can find it on the federal level, and I think the best thing for me to do is to give across to our listeners of what the position of Agudas Yisrael is regarding the hate crimes legislation is to actually read from a letter that is dated July 5th, 2007, and the letter is addressed to the Honorable Edward M. Kennedy, to Senator Kennedy, and to the Honorable Gordon H. Smith. And it's regarding hate crimes legislation. And again, this was sent by a Gurus Yisrael of America to Senators Kennedy and Senator Smith. And what I'll do is I'll read through it, and as I read through it, I'll elucidate it based on my conversation that I had with Rabbi Cohen, who runs the Washington office here of Gurus Yisrael. And stop me at any point if you have a question or if you want some clarification. The letter goes, we write on behalf of Agudas Yisrael of America, a national Orthodox Jewish organization, to share our perspective on your bill, S-1105. So what that is the Senate version of the Matthew Shepard Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2007. This legislation, the letter reads, among other things, would impose new criminal penalties. New criminal penalties. That's the key point. What this law is all about is adding to the penalties for certain crimes, new criminal penalties for causing willful hate-related bodily injury to members of specified groups. As the Senate is now expected to take up the measure, we urge you, this is Agudas Yisrael writing to the Senate, these two senators, we urge you to amend your legislation so that it reflects the House-passed bill H.R. 1592, legislation we are pleased to support. So for the what happened is that to remind our listeners, in order for a bill to pass the Congress, in order for a bill to be law, it has to pass the lower house, the House of Representatives, and the upper house, the Senate. So Agudas Yisrael, at the time of this letter, had already supported the legislation, had supported the House version. The legislation they write in the letter, we are pleased to support, and they were now asking that the Senate version of the bill should make the same changes in the original version of the bill so that it's like the House version, and then the Agudas Yisrael is saying that they will then be able to support this Senate version.
Just for clarification, the whole point of the bill was to add jail time or add penalty.
Add penalties, right.
To something which was a crime already.
That's correct. Although it doesn't specifically say it, it could be interpreted also as protecting people, because when you add jail time, you're basically protecting people, and you'll see that this bill adds a certain group within the United States, adds it to the list of people who will be protected, in a sense, by hate crimes legislation. There is already hate crimes legislation dating back to 1968, and we're going to see now which groups are going to be included under this new hate crimes legislation.
Okay.
The letter continues, Agudas Israel's endorsement of the House bill is noteworthy, as this is the first time our organization's leadership has determined that a major hate crimes proposal merits our backing. Despite our community's obvious interest in laws that target anti-Semitic crimes, among other bias crimes, we have withheld our support from various hate crimes legislative initiatives put forward in the states. So, too, we have not spoken in favor of earlier versions of this bill and other federal laws in this area, and the letter mentions such as the Hate Crimes Sentencing Enhancement Act, 28 U.S.C. 994, which provides sentencing enhancements for bias-motivated offenses based on race, color, religion, national origin, gender, disability, or sexual orientation. And that last term is the key now for all, most if not all, hate crimes legislation, including this one, is that a new class of protected citizens has been added, and that is based on sexual orientation. Or to speak more plainly in the vernacular of the country, it basically protects gays.
The letter now, the version from 1968, therefore...
Did not, right.
And what changed so that this letter is claiming that they now are happy to support it? Whereas before that, a little earlier, they did not want to support the last one.
The letter now goes into detail to explain what it is on this legislation that's different than, to kind of use the Pesach motif, how is this legislation different from all other legislation? It's going to now go into detail on that. The letter continues, our uneasiness over previous hate crimes proposals has been due in large part to concerns relating to their potential impact on the free exercise of religion, including religious expression. Millions of religious adherents, including Orthodox Jews, believe that certain modes of behavior are divinely proscribed, not prescribed, but proscribed, as being morally wrong. Sadly, today, many misconstrue that belief as translating to hatred and label those who espouse it as bigots. Is it not plausible, then, that a defendant's religious beliefs, expressions, or associations might be used as evidence of hate under legislation of this sort and ultimately lead to an unjust conviction and a chilling effect on religious behavior? Is it not also conceivable that clergy and other religious functionaries who teach the tenets of the faith run the risk of being charged with inciting hate-based violence resulting in self-censorship of what they utter from the pulpit and in the classroom? So the objection that Agudas Yisrael had in the past was twofold. Number one, that the very fact that somebody is an Orthodox Jew could be construed as enough enough of a basis to say that if an Orthodox Jew were to attack, say, someone who is gay, even if they didn't utter anything, they didn't say anything, they didn't indicate anything, the very fact that they're being an Orthodox Jew could be construed as contributing to the hatred that the court would interpret the attack to be based on. So that was the first concern. The second concern would be that if a rabbi stood in front of his congregation at the pulpit and went ahead and said what it, and spoke and taught what it says in the Torah, that it's a, you know, that the that homosexuality, the act of homosexuality, is against the Torah, then if somebody were to get up from the congregation and at some future point attack somebody who's gay, at that point perhaps that rabbi could also be held legally liable. And so there might be a concern that people would not be teaching Torah. These were the two concerns then that Agudas Yisrael had. One, that there shouldn't be guilt by association, if we can use that term. And the second should be that speech should be protected.
Okay, and the second, why would the second legislation not have that possible effect
on
a religious person?
So that's what continues on the next page. He writes, "We are therefore pleased that these religious freedom concerns have been addressed to our satisfaction in the House-passed bill." Let's remind ourselves again, there are two versions of the bill when this letter was being written. The House-passed bill had made changes that addressed the two issues we just raised of guilt by association and of freedom of speech. And he was now, and the letter is now urging the Senate to make those same changes so that Agudas Yisrael could support the final version of the bill. So the letter continues again. "We are therefore pleased that these religious freedom concerns have been addressed to our satisfaction in the House-passed bill. Section 6 of the House bill would add a critical new provision of law, making clear that, quote, expression or associations of the defendant may not be introduced as substantive evidence at trial unless the evidence specifically relates to that offense." Basically, what it's saying is that somebody being identified as an Orthodox Jew could not be used against them in court unless they made some sort of statement at the time that they were involved in a violent act against one of the protected groups. It continues, "Your bill, too, makes similar provision regarding the general inadmissibility of a defendant's expression or associations, and we commend you for recognizing that this is no idle concern." Now, as far as the second one regarding speech, the letter continues, "However, the House bill includes an additional safeguard that is absent from the Senate bill, a provision in Section 8 of the bill that the law does not in any way prohibit, quote, any expressive conduct, unquote, or, quote, activities, unquote, that are, quote, protected by the free speech or free exercise clauses of the First Amendment to the Constitution." So I'll read through the rest of this paragraph and because it elucidates it nicely what that all means.
Okay.
"The need for such protection is illustrated by the following hypothetical scenario." So the Agudas Yisrael was concerned about cases that would arise, and they construct a hypothetical case. "Assume that an individual hears a religious sermon about the sinfulness of homosexual conduct. Assume further that the individual subsequently commits an act of violence against a gay person. Aside from the question of whether the perpetrator himself committed a federal hate crime, what about the clergyman who delivered the sermon? Could he be implicated as an accessory to the crime under federal law? The House provision provides vital reassurance that such speech, protected by the First Amendment, no matter how offensive some might interpret it to be, would not give rise to an independent action against the clergyman." So you see, that's how it was addressed. Basically, the speech remains protected, and they don't have the guilt by association. Those were the two main concerns in the hate crimes legislation that Agudas Yisrael had, and the House version, and they were urging the Senate to make their version acceptable by making these changes that would protect free speech and not assign guilt by association.
Okay.
Hello, Joe?
Yes, Rabbi Eisen?
Can I just make a statement here?
Absolutely. Yes, please,
absolutely.
Join.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me understand this. I'm a Jew. I read the Bible. and I go down to the local gay club and I punch somebody.
Mm-hmm.
According to this law, if it wasn't a hate crime, let's see, I go to jail for 2 years.
Mm.
And a hate crime like this, maybe I go to jail for 10 years.
Okay.
Now, according to the Torah, is it permissible to support a law that will punish somebody who's doing something l'shem shemayim, who is doing something which is api Torah, is no different punching a gay or punching anybody, and you are making a law that punching a gay is much worse, and this fellow, who maybe is mechavel l'shem shemayim, he has to go to jail for 8 years. Now, this is absolutely wrong to support such legislation because it can directly put Torah Dikker Jews, and not just Torah Dikker Jews, but Noahides who are incensed about what is considered by the term morality, it could put them away. So supporting such a law to put people away, doing something which is in the spirit of what some religions and what the Torah itself tells us, that this is an unacceptable practice. And it wasn't so long ago that the United States Supreme Court ruled that you could put somebody in jail for consensual homosexual sex. This was not too long ago. So we're saying now that whoever thinks in these terms now is liable to go to jail. Now let's take a case like this. First of all, what I just said is wrong. That is, it's wrong to support a bill that could put somebody in jail an extra 8 years because he did something which he felt was the Torah's will. This is wrong. They are good by doing this, showing that they're Moserim. They're Moserim. They are doing things which can cause great injury to people who are Mechavan L'Shem Shemayim. Now, whether you and I would actually go around punching people, I don't know if we're in the business of doing that. But to make a law that would definitely put somebody in a federal prison, which and going to jail these days, by the way, means you get raped by people who have AIDS. So you're talking really very, very critical things being done here by the Agudah. It shows their first-rate Moserim. Now, the other issue is, let's say we have mikvoyes. Our mikvoyes, we have in our Orthodox community a very strong element of homosexuals. I'm involved with them. You can look on my website. Now, I'm not involved with homosexuals. I have spoken to them. I spoke to their rabbi. It's a whole movement, the movement Trembling from God. So I've been very active in dealing with this problem, and I've helped people who have homosexual tendencies to get better, Baruch Hashem. My website is Kedusha.com. Now, let us say that one of these unfortunate people are in the mikveh, as they very often are, and they're doing their thing. And somebody comes along and says, these shagas was teasing in the mikveh, and he gives a patch. Now, according to the Torah, this is not a crime. We don't do these things in the mikveh anywhere else. So if someone would do a thing like this, up in Torah, he's not a Roshah. But according to the Agudah, this person who did this could go to jail for 10 years and probably get raped and die of AIDS. So therefore, what the Agudah is doing is paskening that whoever does something which is a mitzvah api Torah, the way most people interpret the Torah, not the way they interpret it in the Agudah, but a person who would do a thing like this would be guilty of a hate crimes bill and would go away for many years. So I think that this is clearly an established fact that the Agudah is doing things which are utterly deleterious to those who live in the spirit of the Torah. It is an act of mistira. Now, I just want to add one thing to what you spoke to Rabbi Cohen. And I want to say before I go any further that I think very highly of Rabbi Cohen. And I know I never spoke to him. I never had any dealings with him. But I know that the people in the Agudah office are first-rate and very fine people. Some of them are my good friends for many years. The problem here is the Gedolim. I consider the Gedolim a shoyman apikursim. I spoke to them. This hate crime business didn't start here in Washington, D.C. It began in New York State. I've been involved in this over 20 years. New York State started with a hate crimes bill. And everyone who was active, like myself, who was active in this, knew that the real goal was not the hate crime. The hate crime was a prerequisite for a gay rights bill. Now, a gay rights bill is an extremely dangerous thing because it conveys to the gays the status of a compelling state interest. Any minority whose interest has become a compelling state interest, their well-being overrides freedom of religion. The First Amendment to the Constitution contains four freedoms: the freedom of religion, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of press, and the freedom of speech. When there is a compelling state interest to protect the minority, none of these rights exist. And therefore, what the gays really want is to become a compelling state interest to deprive from us freedom of religion in our dealings with homosexuals. Now, this happened in New York State. The Agudat and these Gedolim of the Agudat told me it is forbidden to fight the hate crimes bill. And they said, I asked them why. What possible reason could there be to forbid people from fighting the hate crimes bill? I told them, Reb Yankiv and Moshe and Reb Sklana Rebbe and Rabbi Vindemilla, the Debet Sina Rov, and all the Rabbonim and the Gedolim in the past generation decreed upon us, which is why I got involved, decreed upon us to fight tooth and nail against this lobby. And their good is going fighting for them. It is forbidden to fight them. So I said, why? They said, we're against hate. Now, anybody who says we're against hate has a big problem, because the gay lobby is out to uproot the Torah. And we have a mitzvah, Misanecha Hashem Esne. We must hate people that want to uproot the Torah. That's the Sugyim Sochem. Rashi and Shabbos tells us, Sinas Chinah means the person is not a Balavera. But when a person is a Balavera, mitzvah is nice, and offer the Gemurim Sochem. So for the Aguna to say, it is forbidden to hate homosexuals, and again, we're not talking about the innocent people who Nebuch may be completely from and can't control themselves for genetic reasons and psychological reasons. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a gay lobby which is designed to destroy biblical influence. So Avada Gevissa is the Amalek of the door. And it's a mitzvah lishnoisoi. And the Aguda says, also lishnoisoi. So the Apikursim, it's not a nice thing to say, the Kol Gedolim Apikursim, but I'm telling you this. Anybody who says it's also to have Stina for a group like the gay lobby, whose homoseus is to tear apart the Torah, that person is an Apikaris. And why do they suddenly become Apikursim? They have their reasons. They have to be cool, and they have to present themselves when they make all these huge monies, and their position when they speak to their friend Charles Schumer and Hillary Clinton, all these people, whatever it is. And they have all types of arrangements. They're not going to spoil their fun by getting involved in the evangelical war against homosexuality. Now, here's another thing. All of the Frumer Goyim fought this bill, all of them. And if all the religious people had stood firm, we could have stopped the bill. The fact that they're going to broke ranks with all religious people, that damaged terribly all the religious efforts to control the gay lobby. Because now once you establish that the state has got to protect these people, from who? From the biblical people. Those are the ones that are the menace. So once you get that put into legislation on the federal level, it is a small step to say the state has a compelling interest to protect gays from bigotry. And where does it come from? We know where it comes from. Bigotry is in the Bible. So therefore, it's a small step to assign, not just in New York State and other states which have a gay rights bill, but on a federal level, there will be a ruling that protecting gays is a compelling state interest. At that point, we have no freedom of religion. Now, what does that mean? It means that there was a Supreme Court ruling about a Bob Jones University. Bob Jones University said that blacks and whites cannot date. Therefore, the IRS took away their exemption. And the Supreme Court said, if you don't go along with the commonality of morality in America, but you believe in a bigotry that is unacceptable by American standards, then you lose your IRS exemption. You don't qualify as a charity.
So Rabbi Adelson, let's just continue right after this. We do have a quick break, but I just want to, just put to Joe maybe the question. I think I understand the question. And the bottom line question, tell me if I'm right, is, why does the Aguda, don't we know it says, Umusanecha Esne, like David HaMelech said, and those who hate you I will hate. So where does the Aguda come and say that you're not allowed to hate, people who are doing terrible things. And how does Agudah explain that in terms of the Torah? If they and the Rabbanim who they're following, if they follow the Torah, how could they use such a logic to go and to promote and to help people who are promoting such an avera? I think that's the basic question. I'd like to know, when we come back, Joe, maybe you could clarify, is anything in what they told you, anything that would clarify that?
We'll come back in just a moment after this message, and then I'll present something which may not clarify it, but which should offer some insight.
The following message is brought to you by Jeff Wilkes Orchestras. Whether you're looking for a Labadik one-man band and singer or an eight-piece orchestra, call Jeff Wilkes Orchestras. Music and entertainment by Jeff Wilkes Orchestras and singers. Weddings, vorts, l'chaims, engagement parties, sheva brachas, and bar and bas mitzvahs. In Brooklyn, Five Towns, Manhattan, Riverdale, Teaneck, Passaic, West Orange, as well as Highland Park, Edison, New Jersey. For a free demo and local references, call Jeff Wilkes Orchestras at 212-840-5523 or New Jersey at 732-828-9274. Again, the number for Jeff Wilkes Orchestras, 212-840-5523 or New Jersey, 732-828-9274. Jeff Wilkes Orchestras, coming to a simcha near you. The following...
Now, we have, I just want to mention once again the raffle line. The raffle line for those who are listening, 718-285-9122. And we're raffling off the Haggadah of the Jewish Idea, commentary by Binyamin Zev Kahana. This is a hardcover book, over 200 pages. You can, if you'd like to order it, the sponsor does... we'll be able to accommodate that, and just in case you're not a raffle winner, so just indicate when you call up. Leave all your information, 718-285-9122. Okay, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So without spending too much time, maybe you could, I think that's a very direct question, very direct, straight. The truth is when you hear the logic of that we're against hate, you start thinking, okay, where does it say that? You know, you start looking at flipping the pages and you don't find it. The concept of just in general, just against every type of hate, that it doesn't matter what they do, if the guy's a killer, a murderer, you know, you say that you have to just accept and you have to protect everybody. So I'm not sure where it says that, so how do they defend that?
Let me remind our listeners, and for those who are tuning in late, that we're speaking on the subject of hate crimes legislation, and I had an opportunity to speak with representatives of Agudas Yisrael. And in particular, I had a chance to speak with Rabbi Cohen, who works here, Rabbi Abba Cohen, who works here in the Washington office of Agudas Yisrael. And, there's something we should remind our listeners. They may be very much aware of it, but just to remind them of also that there's nothing that the staff of Agudas Yisrael does that isn't done in coordination or at the direction of the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. So I think that's a very important point to make. That was made to me also by Rabbi Shaffrin.
Just to realize that begs the question a little bit more, because all that does is it shifts the question to the Moetzes, which I think Rabbi Eidenson is basically... That's what he's focusing on. That's where his question is coming and is directed at.
And this particular piece of legislation, hate crimes legislation, I want to specify that it has to do with bodily injury. In other words, somebody would have to attack somebody and do some kind of bodily injury. If at the same time that they're attacking somebody, they would go ahead and mention that they're attacking the person based on race, color, religion, national origin, gender, disability, or sexual orientation. And I think it would be up to the courts to determine what that actual mentioning would be, what they would have to say. Could it be something as little as saying to somebody, don't you know what it says in the Torah? If, for example, if I witnessed or somebody witnessed somebody molesting a child at the mikveh, for example, if I were to grab them and leave a black and blue mark on their arm as I pull them away and say something like, as what I just said, don't you know what it says in the Torah, or that's forbidden, that's a toeva. something like that might be all that's required in order to indicate that there's hate crimes involved. And then, of course, the punishment would be multiplied many times of whatever would be involved. So that's number one I want to bring out. And the key point here also is that for the first time, and this is a question I posed to Rabbi Cohen before I address your exact point. I addressed to Rabbi Cohen that by Agudas Yisrael supporting this legislation, it seemed to me that they're establishing the principle that there is a new group that had not been protected by the original hate crimes, 1968 hate crimes legislation, and that would be the gays, basically. That's how I interpret the word sexual orientation. I think that's pretty clear, that gays would now be protected, and by Agudas Yisrael supporting this legislation, even though the legislation was going to meet the concerns that Agudas Yisrael had, but that Agudas Yisrael would now be establishing something very new in supporting the protection of gays and in regard to this legislation. Now, your specific question was, how did Agudas Yisrael explain the idea of hate? Right, that hate seems to have a place. It's certainly, you know, it's not something we focus on as from the Torah, but it has a place within the Torah. Based on what you're saying. And the idea here is that, and this is why I said that I would address it, but it wouldn't actually clarify it. Agudas Yisrael, let me get the terminology right. I want to quote this right. I wrote it down here. Just give me a moment. Basically, let's see where I have it. Agudas Yisrael does not teach nor promote discrimination. All right. Again, I spoke with Rabbi Cohen, and I don't think
what does that mean? That they don't believe they don't discriminate between right and wrong?
Well, that I guess to be more specific, for example, let's say there is legislation. There is such legislation called EDNA, Employment Non-Discrimination Act, and basically this legislation would essentially end discrimination against gays, for example, in terms of employment. And so what Agudas Yisrael said is, even if there was a there was an exemption for, say, religious institutions, and it was written in a way that was acceptable to Agudas Yisrael, they would abstain from that legislation. They would not get involved in that at all. And then I asked the hypothetical question, if the Noahides in this country got together, and one of the Noahide laws is not to be involved in homosexuality, if they were to get together, for just hypothetically, and pass legislation, federal legislation outlawing homosexuality, would Agudas Yisrael support that? And again, I was told, if I'm not misstating it, that they would abstain from such a law like that. And let me...
I guess that really begs the question.
The way they put it is the Agudas Yisrael would have no position on this law, and it's not Agudas Yisrael's issue. So that's how...
Protect the gays is their issue. But to condemn the gays is not their issue. They're emes apikursim. Emes apikursim. It took the conservative movement decades and decades to get to this level, and they're just flipping along. They're just flying away. They started a couple years ago with the New York State hate crimes, and what you're quoting from them, and I have no reason to doubt your veracity, and of course Robert Cohen, I'm sure, is an honest, good fellow, I believe this is the actual thoughts of the Gedolim. They call themselves Gedolim. I call them Apikursim, Rabbi Shoyim. They were inventing a new Torah. There is no heter to make a law that will put a Yid in jail for hating gays. There's no heter at all. Whoever is involved in this is a Moser. But as Gavriel said, Now, one thing. Let's talk about the two bills that you mentioned. You presented. You're actually doing an excellent job, Joe. You really made a thorough questioning, and I'm proud of of you, and also I'll say Robert Cohen, also I'm proud of him. Also, he could have just skunked out of this and refused to talk to you. That was an act of courage. He really believes in the dastur of his gedolim, and I appreciate that. That's a good simon. And him and Abishai.
Let me just mention one thing. Is I want to just let's finish up with this topic. I want to turn because I think this begs the bigger concept, the concept of das Torah, and because what Agudah is really saying is there's a concept of Das Torah, and therefore what the Rabbanim, I guess, and the Moetzes, which is the embodiment of Das Torah for them, if they say it, therefore it's correct.
Exactly.
So I think it begs that question.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm saying it's what they're saying is from the belly. It has no source. It's not from a Rashba. It's not from a Rambam. It's fakir from Gemara's. It's fakir from everything in the Torah. And they made it up, and it's the New Testament for them. And I don't want to insult the New Testament as much as I want to insult them. They're mezidim, and they're doing it for probably their own political posture. They want to be cool or progressive. But I'm going on record. There is no source in the Torah to put people in jail because they are kanoyim and doing ma'aseh Pinchas. There's no way, and if you believe we're against hate and we're going to put people in jail for having seen it from Rishoyim, you are not Bikaris. And I think Avril's question has not been answered. I don't blame Joe, and I don't blame Rabbi Cohen. This it goes back to the Moshe Zagdolim, and they made up a new Torah. Can I just get a point? I just want a technical point, which I think is very important to this issue. The two laws that they said they would abstain for, let me just tell you what this means. If there's a law that says you must employ a gay, that means, let's say you have a business and you have to bring a gay in, and the gay will go with his partner and do whatever he wants, and he has freedom of speech, and if you say anything or do anything, you're a hater. This is how can people survive? How can people survive? And the idea of that this is not their issue, they don't care. Yes, they have made it very clear. They care about yeshivas. That's what they care about. So they want a thing like this, that if I am of an Orthodox Jew and I have a store, I have to take in homosexuals. But if it's a yeshiva, they want to be protected. Why am I any different than the yeshiva? If the yeshiva doesn't have to suffer, and I do have to suffer. So let them say the Torah applies only to yeshivas. Does it apply to the Orthodox Jews? And the idea that if there would be a law condemning the homosexual practice, in keeping with the biblical values, and the good word had nothing to do with it, this shows that they have nothing to do with the Torah.
So I think we accurately, I mean, the question is very, very strong. And I think that definitely, Joe, you have your work cut out.
It's not Joe's fault. No.
I'm saying work cut out to go back, if you'd like, to see if they have anything to respond. I mean, I don't think they do, because I think, but then again, who am I to say? I'm assuming that, Joe, you spoke about these questions already.
No, I didn't go. I really stayed very much on the concepts of Das Torah, what the yeshivas are.
Okay, so let's leave it like this. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go back. You're going to have to present the question in the strong way that it's being presented right here, and see what they respond, because I see it as a very strong question. I really don't see an answer at this point. But let's talk about the concept of the Das Torah. How did they explain that to you? Because you spent a lot of time speaking.
Well,
who did you speak to about that?
About Das Torah, I spoke to Rabbi Shaffrin, and people should know that there are many articles that Rabbi Shaffrin has written, and they're available through the internet. If you don't have the internet, you probably can find someone who does. And I'm thinking Rabbi Shaffrin would be happy to provide them, to mail them or fax them to you. And as I said at the beginning of the show, that Rabbi Shaffer and Rabbi Cohen were accessible, and I encourage people to be in contact with them directly. Probably the best way to explain Das Torah is through an article which I printed out here that Rabbi Shaffer wrote, and I'll go through it kind of quickly. I excerpted some parts of it, and I'm just going to read through it quickly.
Okay.
And then it defines it for us, and we can go into it a little more. He says, Das Torah, the concept of trusting in the judgment of great Torah scholars regarding not only issues of Jewish religious law or halacha, but issues of a sociological or even political nature, no less. Das Torah is not some Jewish equivalent to infallibility. Not only can rabbis make mistakes of judgment, there is an entire tractate of the Talmud, Horios, predicated on the assumption that they can, that even the Sanhedrin is capable of erring, even in halachic matters. What Das Torah means, simply put, is that those most imbued with Torah knowledge and who have internalized a large degree of the perfection of values and refinement of character that the Torah idealizes are therefore rendered particularly, indeed extraordinarily, qualified to offer an authentic Jewish perspective on matters of import to Jews, just as expert doctors are those most qualified, though still fallible to be sure, to offer medical advice. And then he continues on connecting this back to the ideas of the eyes of the community, the Ene Ha'eda, and he says that is why they call the eyes, because they see things that the Jewish leadership are called the eyes of the community, because they see things more clearly than the rest of us, not necessarily perfectly, and there are times when God purposefully hides things from even his most accomplished disciples, But Rabbi Shaffrin continues, but more clearly all the same. What compels the concept of Das Torah is nothing less than belief in the transcendence of Torah. And let me just read a little more. He says, Torah encompasses every corner of life. It is not limited to matters of Jewish law and practice. It extends to how one is to view happenings and face challenges in one's community, in one's country, on one's planet. And there's more, and I encourage everyone to look it up and get a copy. If they contact me, I can email it or send it to them. The idea, if I could put it in my own words, is that Das Torah is the idea that you go to a professional in any profession, whether it's carpentry or law or medicine or whatever it is, and you basically look to this person who spent years and years studying and practicing whatever their expertise is. You look to them and trust them in their area of expertise. And that the Torah leader has spent many years studying Torah, is in contact with those who are experts in various fields, and somehow integrates this and puts it all together into one clear outlook, and that therefore what a Torah leader says on a subject, we should give much weight to and consider it and basically embrace it and make it part of our own outlook.
Let me just quickly once again mention the raffle line. 718-285-9122. We are raffling a Gada of the Jewish Idea, a commentary by Binyamin Zev Kahana, a very nice hardcover English Haggadah. You may call in 718-285-9122. Leave all your information. If, just in case you do not win the raffle and you're in ordering this, you may give your information and just mention that you'd like to order it, and somebody will get back to you. Now, let me ask Rabbi Idenson, and then after that we're going to take a short break, and then we'll continue with Rabbi Idenson. But first, let me ask you to address this concept of Das Torah. If I understand what Joe is saying, it's just a general concept, and I've heard it before, that if you have, if somebody is an expert in something, then you should just trust their judgment, even if it seems to you different. And I guess that's the ultimate. They call them Einei Eda, the eyes of the congregation, and they use other terminologies that you see phrases floating around. How do you address that?
That's a very good point. And in fact, when Joe had the idea of this show, so I told him this right away. I said this is a very important point, but it has to be addressed. And you addressed it. And I'm very happy that you did. One thing I want to say is like this. There's a Gemara that a rabbi, he held a certain opinion, and it wasn't accepted by the generation. And he told his son, you follow the majority of this generation, but I heard from the old generation, and I'm going to continue with what I heard from the old generation. In general, the old generation is always greater than the younger generation, and so if you happen to hear from the old generation, you're not bound by the opinions of the young generation. So I'm a person that heard clearly and spoke to Gedolei Ador, the first generation, and they had completely the opposite opinion of how to deal with the gay issue than the present Gedolim have. That's from Moshe Feinstein, who gave a letter that every single Jew is obligated to come to City Hall to show that we Jews are against even having gay rights. We're in opposition, and Moshe wrote very strongly. I heard from Ivanka Kamenetsky an extremely strong condemnation of the gay lobby, that we have to fight it ferociously. I personally was involved in I was doing a cheshem mishpat kailo for Dayonim, and one day the manal of the Bezdin comes in. He says, I was in New York from Malava Malkin. The Debrezino Rav got up. And he said, every single person has an obligation to fight the gay lobby. And this was a Sklener Rebbe. It was a shattered body from the war. He went through the war and to the communists that was in jail. He had a shattered body, had a shattered heart. And he used to fight with Mayor Koch about the gay rights issue, even though he had to constantly take pills for his heart so he shouldn't collapse. So this is what I saw in the old generation. And there was no exceptions. All of a sudden, the Aguda comes along, and they're smarter than Reb Moshe, and they're smarter than Reb Yankov, and they're smarter than the Skeleta Rebbe. And when everybody else screams and yells, fight, 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 it's Tommy, we have to fight it, the Aguda embraces it and says, if somebody will come along in the spirit of the Skeleta Rebbe and the other Gedolim and do something which is construed by the radicals as hate, that person should go to jail where he'll probably be raped with someone with AIDS, because we're against hate.
So let me ask you, what you're saying, though there's a... It raises an immediate question to me. The question is, so then it almost sounds as if you on a personal level, okay, because you heard from the last generation, you don't have to listen. You don't have to listen to them. But it's completely proper to support gays for everybody in this generation.
Excellent, excellent point. And so I want to come to that, if I may. Number two, there's a klal in Heroah that the Sugi and Huryas. Let's say we come to Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis Din, and we tell him, you know, we got a problem. There's not enough matzah. I'd rather eat cake. So he says, okay, b'shas avchak, you can eat cake on Pesach. So I go ahead and I eat cake on Pesach. So the Gemara says that any halacha that the tzedukim moedim boy, that is the tzedukim were people who didn't believe in the Talmud and the oral law. They just believed in the written law. So anything which was in the written law, and the Sanhedrin made a mistake in Paskin Faket from an open posik, so therefore it's worthless. Now, if you look in the Torah, you see, why did the Jews merit to take the land of Canaan from the Zion Amamim? Because Chazal tell us in the Psukim that they were Oisik, Oishin Oisi Yisish, Oishin Oisi Yisisha, precisely these Chatoyim. So this is Beferish of the Torah, that this is not an Avera. This is the schus that the Yidden had to take Eretz Israel. So they're coming along and saying, Faket, we're against this. We're against this. We're against offering up Sukkim in the Torah. The male is Zil Kori Bey Rav, who the Gemara's terminology is, go look at a posik. Go look what little kids are studying Chumash, and you'll see that. You don't know what you're talking about. So if Moshe Rabbeinu and Sanhedrin said such a thing, eat Chumash of Pesach or anything which is Faket in the Torah, it's nothing. A similar term is used at Toyas Bidvar Mishneh. That is, Chazal could only come and paskin something if it was not clearly established by the earlier generations. When something is clearly established by the earlier generations, then no one can argue it. If they did argue, so just erase it. Nedavita just says that if a Sanhedrin made a psak, but it turned out there was a mistake, that it's not a heroic clause. It's all out of psak. So these psakim that they're making against the spirit of the Torah, they have no authority to mechulik with the Moshe of Yankiv when their psalkim were based on Chazal and Mesoira, and they make up a new thing, but not, they have no mekayrus for it. They have no source for it. They just say the word Das Torah. There's Shuvah Sarashma. You never see the word Das Torah. Das Torah is the word people use when they have no sources, and they just make it up for their own reasons. And Das Torah, therefore, in Halacha, is a worthless term.
I do have a follow-up question, but let me once again just mention the raffle line. And we're going to be closing the raffle in about 4 minutes. So if anybody wants to get their last call-in to be able to be in the raffle for this Haggadah of the Jewish Idea, which we will try to get to you before Pesach, you can call 718-285-9122. That's 718-285-9122. And you can indicate, in case you'd want to order it, in case you don't win, you can indicate that also. Now, Rabbi Adenson, my question is just the concept of, I was learning in the beginning of the, it's going to strengthen your question, but it's also going to, from another angle, it's going to ask, the Rambam, in the introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvos, he basically says that ever since the time of the closing of the Gemara, there is no such thing as a central authority that anyone has to listen to, because there is no set authority that Klal Yisrael listens to. And the implication was, the only reason that we have to, or even in the past had to listen to a Sanhedrin, is not because they're imbued with some sort of nevuah, but rather because Lotus Skoda, you're not supposed to tear Klal Yisrael apart, so that even if they're making a mistake, we're units, and it's for the same reason that you have to keep a minhag. You're not supposed to break the minhag. If you go to another place, you have to follow the minhag. The same type of idea, but now that we're already split apart, so that's it. It's like the basket was broken. And so my question is, another question on the concept of what they're saying is, who is to say that X people are the people that are fouled? I mean, there are many communities who don't follow those people. You have, forget about Hasidim, also you have the whole YU, you know, you have the people in Israel, the Sephardim, and it would seem that that's another question on it. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a very interesting point. The Rambam tells us that Seif HaRoh is the Gemara, that after Ravina Rav Ashi closed shop, it means like this: whatever the Gemara established, that can't be touched. Right. You can't touch that.
Let me just quickly apologize. I'm so sorry. We do have to just quickly run the air, and then say it. Okay.
The following message is brought to you by Jeff Wilkes Orchestras. Whether you're looking for a Labadik one-man band and singer or an eight-piece orchestra, call Jeff Wilkes Orchestras. Music and entertainment by Jeff Wilkes Orchestras and singers. Weddings, vorts, l'chaims, engagement parties, sheva brachas, and bar and bas mitzvahs. In Brooklyn, Five Towns, Manhattan, Riverdale, Teaneck, Passaic, West Orange, as well as Highland Park, Edison, New Jersey. For a free demo and local references, call Jeff Wilkes Orchestras at 212-840-5523 or New Jersey at 732-828-9274. Again, the number for Jeff Wilkes Orchestras, 212-840-5523 or New Jersey, 732-828-9274. Jeff Wilkes Orchestras, coming to a simcha near you. The following message.
Okay, Rabbi Einenson?
Let me just state as follows. If you look into halacha, you look into the Peskim, you'll see that there are precedents that everyone follows. If someone breaks with a precedent, he trots out his sources. For instance, if the Shach argues with the Rambam, he'll say, look, I have a Tosfos, I have a Rambam. And it's possible that that people may decide to follow the Shach because he brings a good proof. Without going into all the details of a role, I will just say this. When you have a generation that rises up against the evil and makes a getter for Kedusha, there is no way, in terms of halacha, to disagree with it. There's the Gemara in Shabbos that people used to have a custom that on Friday they closed down. They didn't go sailing from where they were, say, at Haifa to someplace in Lebanon to do business. They didn't sail around. But their children were in a very big predicament because the Yom HaShuk came out on Friday, so they couldn't make business. So they came to the Rabbonim and said, we can't do as our parents did. They said, look, your parents made up a new level to come to Hayam Madregan from Kite, and you're stuck with it. That's all there is to it. So you have a generation that got up and not only said that it's a Tosefes Kedusha, it's an extra level of Kedusha, they said it's a Halacha Gemura. They said you must fight this tumor, and you're not allowed to help it in any way. And there is no halachic permission for anyone to come along now and disagree with this for two reasons. First of all, ein bezne yochel levato divrei bezne chaver, elokim kein goro mimenu chacham inyan. A bezdin that comes later and is not greater than the earlier bezdin cannot argue with it, especially when the sources of the other bezdin, the older bezdin, are clear, that the Torah makes it very clear that the Zion Amimim were destroyed because they were using these things. There's no Isser of Sina. So when the Aguda comes along and says these things, it has nothing to do with Psak. It's not that Bezdin is Mechulik with another Bezdin. These are fantasies. This had nothing to do with Halacha. There's no Mokum in Halacha to get up and disagree with Reb Moshe and Reb Yankiv and Halachic things when they tell us not Tosefes Kedusha, not extra things, but Halacha Brurura, Machamas Kedusha. But even if they were without any type of a source, even if there was no psukim in the Torah and everything else, even if they decided they wouldn't be frum, there would be no way to get away from it. There's a true Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan. Men decided to use a mikvah memsaw to be tovel in the morning. Al pidin, the Rav and the Mishnayos and the Mishnebura say Botlo Tfilas Ezer. There's no chiyuv for a man to go to a mikveh, period. There isn't. But these people are frumkeit. They became frum. They went into a mikveh memsor. And then there was they had to give it up because the noshim needed it. So Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan said, I don't care if you're stuck fiscally, you can't afford it. When you start up a mitzvah tesis kedusha, you're stuck with it. You can't extricate yourself from it. So here, even if Moshe did something which wasn't up, he did. But he made it up. If he made it up, we're stuck with it. We can't extricate ourselves from it, especially the Beis Din. These people, I want you to know one thing. I'm a Valdin Hero. I'm a Talmud of Aviyashiv. I'm a Zmiyasid, the Gittin in Russia. These Rabbonim and the Aguda are not Rabbonim. They're teachers. They're Malamdim. They teach the same Masechtas over and over again. And one of the major ones, he once asked me about a certain problem he had that showed that he never learned Evan Ezer. So these are not people that have to do with Peskim. They're not interested in Evan Ezer and Cheshem Ishmael and these things. They learn Gemara Rashi at Peskim, they have Shat in the Rambam. That's their job. Their job is not to be Peskim. There are very few of them who have any shachas to be Peskim. So they learn Shas many times, they learn Rambams, and they break the Talmidei Chachamim, and people's standards, they're very much Yerushalmi, whatever it is, v'chule v'chule. But to say that these are people that can be chuluk with their Moshe, are you out of your mind? These people, there's any one person in the Moeses that can stand toe-to-toe with their Moshe and knock him down and say you're wrong, especially with all the Gedolei Ador agree with him, and the spirit of Rav Moshe's writings are in Psukim, and you disagree with it? If you do that, you're a Mechitzif, you're an Apikairis, and a Moshe.
Rabbi Eidenson, I want to thank you, and we definitely want to have you on again. Let me just tell you that there was another whole thing that we were supposed to talk about, the concept of Kolel, which where the husband is instructed to learn and not work, while the wife works to support the family. We have that now also, and that also tied into this discussion. Unfortunately, we're running short on time, and I just want to mention to everybody that we do intend on continuing the conversation at some point, and we will discuss with Rabbi Adinson when is a good time. And also, Rabbi Adinson, at some point, I'd like to discuss that whole concept he's saying that once, for example, the past generation said something, so you cannot change. You cannot change what the basin of the past generation said.
Can I just tell you a fair story? I know you have a little time. A fast one. I won't tell the whole story, just a fast thing. One of the Gedolim of the first generation was a chassid called Bramsky. He was a Rav in London. And when he was young, he was a Rav in Russia. And he had a shaila about a get that he paskined against the Yitzchak Ochanan, who was the Gadol Ador. And as soon as he finished paskining, the Bolsheviks came and put him into Siberia. And he said, there's no question that I was punished because I was mechuluk with the Yitzchak Ochanan. I had all types of proofs, but that's a chutzpah. It was fast. So he was released when he had a dream that Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan came to him in a dream and smiled at him, and that day he was released.
Okay. I just want to thank you very much. And I want to thank you very much, and I hope to speak to you again and to clarify even more the topics we have talked about. Thank you very much, Rabbi Eidenson.
It's a great honor, Gavriel and Joe. Thank you very much.
Hold on for one moment, Rabbi Eidenson. Go ahead, Gavriel, and then we have one other topic.
Okay, I just want to mention the winner of the raffle. It is Malka Charna Rosenberg. You have won the raffle, so we will get in touch with you, and congratulations.
Rabbi Eidenson, we just have a few moments left, but I want to end on a positive note, and I think everything you've said is positive, but positive in terms of how we're going to deal with all the things we've learned this evening. And I Pesach is a time when we all get together. We form a chabura, and there's the Karban Pesach that we eat together. I'd like to invite all our listeners and anyone who's interested to get together with us at some point during the summer. We're going to have a conference which addresses some of these issues which we've talked about this evening. And for those who agree with us, for those who don't agree with us, we'd like to address issues that we've talked about regarding Das Torah and regarding hate crimes legislation, regarding other issues that we've spoken about here on the Jewish Activist Network. So that will be this summer at some point, and we'll give our listeners more information on our next show, which will be in a few weeks because we will not be broadcasting on next week during Pesach, during Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Eidenson, I hope you'll be able to join us on that activity also.
Wonderful, wonderful. You and Gabriel should be gebenched because the strength and courage that you have to speak about these things is wonderful. It's wonderful to find good people. And if even the three of us could work together, and we'll do something. At least let people know what's happening. Let people have the facts. How they'll deal with it, they'll deal with it. But we have to give out the facts.
We're just about out of time. Thank you, Rabbi Eidenson.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you, Gabriel. Good night.
Good night.